Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening. With you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone. Take the Alexa speakers. Take your tablet. Take your answering machine. Your clock radio. Your Walkman. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929thegame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, the best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. At JMCH316 is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, Day-Day is in the house at DD Lewis for real. Well, it's been a good couple of days for the Atlanta Braves, right? I mean, you know, they're looking to sweep the Mets. You know, we are got Spencer Strider and Justin Verlander on the hill tonight. So without further ado, Day-Day, let's go ahead and sing our Sweep the Mets song. Let's go ahead and do it, okay? Ready to go? F the Mets.
F the Mets.
Step right up
and F the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your
life. One more time.
F the Mets, F the Mets.
Step right up
and F the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
All right. Now that we got that out of our system. Hey, did I ever tell you that I hate the Mets?
Why, yes. Why, yes, you have, John Chuckery.
Oh, okay. I thought that maybe slipped my mind. I thought maybe that slipped my mind a little bit here. So, anyway, I hate him. And I like some of their players individually, but I hate their whole organization. So, I loathe them. So, not as much as I loathe the Red Sox. Red Sox, you know, are just, they're a bunch of hags. But anyway.
That's the one that I can't stand.
Yeah, yeah. I hate the Reds. I wish bad things on the Red Sox, but anyway. Braves and Mets tonight. So, look, Spencer Strider, 6-2 with a 2.97 ERA. So, you've got maybe the best young pitcher in baseball versus a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Verlander's had his struggles this year, 2-3 with a 4.25 ERA. You know, Max Scherzer has not pitched well lately, you know, in the last handful of games against the Atlanta Braves. So, you got through, you know, Max Scherzer last night and came back again, another 4-1 comeback and a victory. Michael Harris certainly sparking this team. I mean, we talked with Carl about that. You know, look, he's been doing some other things and playing really good defense. The batting average is just what's not, you know, come up enough, right? You know, he's been walking more in his plate appearances, striking out less in his plate appearances, and stealing bases. And being a plus war defender, right? So, again, when we talk about this, when the bottom of the order gets it cranked up, I don't know how you beat the Braves. I don't know how you tangle with the Braves when the bottom of their order is getting it clicking. When Michael Harris or Marcell Ozuna or whoever. So, looking for the sweep tonight. Here's your lineup. Ronnie, Olson, Riley, Darnell in the cleanup spot. He's going to catch tonight, Eddie Rosario, Ozzie Albies, then Ozuna, Arcia, Michael Harris round out the bottom of the order with Spencer Strider on the mound for the Braves. And again, 6 wins thus far for him. You know, look, he's been outstanding, right? And, you know, we'll talk more about Charlie Morton here coming up at the 9 o'clock hour because, look, I mean, you're down to your final 3 pitchers as of right now, right? It's bullpen games. It's a rotation of rookies and different people like that. So you got to have good innings, you know, and good quality starts from the guys that you're counting on, you know, to be rocks in this rotation. Strider, of course, leads the majors in strikeouts, 113 strikeouts in 69 2/3 innings. So the 13.8 strikeouts per 9 that he had last year, phenomenal number. He said, I can do better than that. 14.6 strikeouts per game or per 9 innings. Now, here's the other thing, too. And we've talked about this multiples of times. You know what else he leads the league in? Fewest hits per 9 innings. So 5.7 hits per 9 innings. That also leads baseball. So if you don't walk guys, so he's got a 4.35 strikeout to walk ratio. 113 strikeouts, only 26 walks in 26 walks in 69 2/3 innings. So that's about the pace that he had last year. 131 innings, 45 walks, maybe a little bit higher on that pace, but still only 26 walks and the lowest hits per 9. You can't hit what you can't see and can't reach, right? And he's whiffing people left and right. And when you don't put base runners on, you know, like Charlie Morton, too many walks last night. Then he gives up the home run balls. Strider's only given up 7 homers on the year in 69 2/3 innings. So that is the same number of homers that he gave up in 131 2/3 innings last year. But still, that has not been a big bugaboo for him. So making his 13th start tonight. And look, the Braves look to sweep. And as of right now, when we look at this, they are 3 games ahead of the Marlins, but they're 7.5 ahead of the Mets. No, sorry. They're 7.5 ahead of the New York Mets. 8 games up on the Philadelphia Phillies. And guess what? You get through this series, you got Washington for 3, you got Detroit for 3, you go up to Detroit. They stink. Washington's the last place team. Colorado coming up. They're in last place. In fact, do they have the fewest wins outside of Oakland? No, I guess the Nationals only have 25 wins. So the Nationals, Kansas City's only got 18 wins as well. So, again, playing some bottom feeders. So don't look now, but we could realistically be headed toward July, and the Braves have a double-digit lead in the division over three teams, which would include the Mets, the Fullers, and the Washington Nationals. They're already 12 up on Washington. That number is going to get even ballooned higher after they get done with them. So, again, we've talked about the idea of they can't wrap up the division, but, boy, if the Mets and Phillies can't do something here soon against Atlanta, ain't no way that Atlanta's going to go on some kind of, you know, just crumbling pace of, you know, losing games. They're not going to have a 5-20 stretch. They're too good, too deep of a lineup to do all of that, and just enough starting pitching that they can get through, and obviously a good bullpen as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens tonight, but hopefully they sweep, and this would be great news, and go up 8.5 games on the New York Mets. Atlanta United, listen, we talked about getting a point out in L.A. Listen, it was, you know, a 0-0 game, but found a way to get a point out in LAFC, right? So that's all you wanted. In all honesty, I'll take the point at this point, you know, on the road, going all the way to the West Coast. And they've got a couple of those trips. I think they've got a trip to, like, what, Vancouver or something like that. So I think maybe Salt Lake City or somewhere like that. A couple of those West Coast teams. So you get a point, you get out of there, you get back home. Now Atlanta United is going to take on DC United. I'll be at that game. So coming up on Saturday, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 kick. We will talk to Jason Longshore coming up here at 8:20 as he will be on the call with Mike Connie. And they'll have the action on Saturday night for you. Steve Weish also set to join us as well. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk some Falcons football with him, and obviously former beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons, now with the NFL Network. So we'll have a chance to catch up with him for a few minutes. Nuggets get it done last night. Here's the thing. This is a very simple formula, okay? You don't have to think any deeper or harder about this, okay? If Joker and Murray are going to go for 66 points, 20 assists, and 31 rebounds, Miami ain't going to win another game in this series. 66, 20, 20, or 31. I mean, Joker's the most unguardable guy in the NBA right now. He really is. And I'm torn because I think Giannis is the best two-way player in the NBA. But, boy, I mean, Joker is making a case as he's just the best overall player in the NBA, right? His numbers are just ridiculous. Ridiculous. 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. And it just feels like he does whatever he wants to do.
I said after, I can't remember which game, but I tweeted about a week ago saying that. And I know the whole, did we talk about the Denver thing, them being on the West and coming on late, but he's not in, like, yes, he's in the MVP talks all the time, but he's not in the conversations of best player in basketball right now.
Well,
talks. And I definitely think he should be.
I think everybody looks at him as a top five player, though. I do think that. I mean, I think that when you talk about best players in the game, Joker's been talked about in that, but I think he's taken a backseat in some ways to Embiid and Giannis. I'm not saying that's fair or right.
No,
or whatever.
I totally agree. I think he should be more at the forefront.
Yeah,
of those.
I do. I mean, I don't know that Joker or Giannis. I mean, I think that's the two best players in the NBA.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, I think that's the two best players in the entirety of the NBA sport. I don't know who's better. Not LeBron, not Luka.
Not Durant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think those two guys are head and shoulders the best player. And, look, I like Embiid a lot. I don't think he's in the same league as what – I know he was the MVP this year. I still don't think he's in the same league as Joker and Giannis.
And Joker easily could have got that for the third year in a row.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without
yeah.
question.
Well, again, he may get the NBA title, which is something that Embiid will never smell.
Yeah.
You know, when you
not
have,
in Philly.
Yeah, when you have, you know, Ben Simmons and James Harden and, you know, that cast of characters. I mean, we talk about what the Hawks have. You talk about those vagabonds. You talk about those mooks. You know, again, whew, man, I mean, those guys are just, you know, I mean, you talk about, they have, I mean, truly two guys that have a P for a Valentine, a true P for a Valentine. That ticker doesn't beat very heavily. So, I think Joker's the most unstoppable player. He's maybe the biggest mismatch in the NBA. I still think Durant is an exceptional offensive player because Durant can do whatever he wants. I mean, step out for the three, drive to the basket, hit them. I mean, Durant can do everything. From an offensive player standpoint,
right?
I think Durant is right there, but Joker's doing everything.
All around,
yeah.
Joker is...
Yeah, I mean, he's on a different level right now. And when those guys go 24 for 43, again, you're not going to beat them. When both of those guys go off... You might be able to have one. We talked about this with Eric Reed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to have Joker go off and do his thing and score 30, 40 points. But if you're going to give Murray 34 to go along with it, you're not going to win. I'm sorry. I mean, you're not going to win if that's the case. If he's going off as well, they just can't find a way to win. They had 64 of their 109 last night. 66 of their 109 last night. Talk about two-thirds of their points came from two guys.
Yep.
So we'll
and both had triple-doubles.
Yeah. And look, Butler had a big game. Adebayo had a big game, right? Those guys combined for 50 points. Adebayo was really good from the free throw line. He was 8 of 10. Didn't shoot the ball well. 7 of 21. And those guys were playing 40 minutes because... You got to fight, scratch, and claw, man. They got to keep all their best offensive pieces on the floor. But, look, we thought it was a series when Miami went out to Denver and won. Okay, well, Denver turned right back around, and now they won in Miami, right? So it's a series again. You know, we've had these moments where – and we said this. The basketball aspect of this is going to be really good.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, who's watching. You know, who wants to watch Miami in – Denver. There are some people that wouldn't watch that series if it was played in their cul-de-sac, right? I mean, you know, I like the series. I mean, I like the two teams that are in this thing, but I can understand that there isn't necessarily the biggest national appeal for some of these teams, you know, in the marketplace. It doesn't feel like any kind of real rival, right? It's not Boston and L.A. It's not even Cleveland and Golden State because we got to see that multiple times, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not even that.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right, we'll talk to Steve Weiss when we get back. Former Falcons beat reporter for NFL Network now. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our new Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So we've now got it synced up with our phone line. So 404-726-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well as our new phone line. Well, Falcons get ready for mandatory minicamp coming up here in a little bit less than a week from right now. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to the former beat writer of the Atlanta Falcons and now the chief national reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weish, is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Weish89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes. Thanks for the time tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, you were dead on in your analysis of talking about Tyler Allgeier, and you nailed it before the season was even underway, talking about the role he would have and the impact that he would have. So, since you're the prognosticator now, is there the obvious, I know, is Bijan. So take him out of the mix, but is there a rookie or a second-year guy that you've got your eyes on that – you think is ready for that breakout season or is going to have an impact for this football team this year?
Well, I mean, I could take the low-hanging fruit and say Desmond Ridder because the pressure's on him. And they're putting it on his shoulders. But, I mean, I think another player you got to look at is Arnold Ebiketie. I thought he showed some really nice flashes last year as the edge rusher. They've got him a lot of help on the interior, right? Going out and getting David Onyemata, getting Calais Campbell to go with Grady Jarrett. I think he's the type of guy with Ryan Nielsen now as a defensive coordinator who could really take a big step, right? Think of the defensive fronts that they had in New Orleans where Ryan Nielsen came from, with Cam Jordan, with Marcus Davenport, with Trey Hendrickson. And those defensive ends did a lot of work in the run and pass games. But they were supported by great interiors like they've built there. So I'd look for AK-47 to step up.
And, you know, Steve, I completely agree. And I've talked a lot about Ebiketie on my show. So let me ask you two questions. And I know hindsight is 20/20 always. But should he have had a chance to start more last year? And the second part of the question is, do you think that he can consistently be an 8 or 10 sack guy in this league?
Well, to say he should have started more is hard to tell. I mean, look, coming in as a rookie edge rusher, that's a hard thing to do, to come in and just really make an impact. That's why you don't see too many, regardless of how high they're drafted, young guys come in and dominate. Like the Boses were like the exception to the rule. It's a hard thing to do. especially when you're asked, you know, in the system that they play, where you've got to be really, really good against the run and be, you know, give somewhat of a rush presence. So I think they probably brought him along at the right points, and they had some veterans there. But now he's got a chance to step up. And, yeah, I think he does have an opportunity to be an 8 to 10 to 11 sack guy. I mean, he better be. You know, they haven't invested too much into, you know, to that, you know, that stud edge rusher who can necessarily win. But they've got some pieces in place. They're going to occupy the offensive line. It's going to occupy, you know, pass protection coverages, which could free him up to some one-on-one battles. So he's going to have an opportunity.
Steve, I've said that the low-key best move that the Falcons made this year is bringing Jerry Gray in to help assistant coach. He'll work with Ryan Nielsen, but he's also going to coach up that secondary. Talk to me a little bit about Jerry Gray and the impact he can make on this football team.
Stud. I mean, a great man, right? I remember years ago when I covered the Falcons, they had Emmett Thomas, the Hall of Famer, coaching up the secondary when they had D'Angelo Hall and, you know, some really good players in that secondary. And that's the type of impact Jerry Gray can have, right? He's not the most outspoken dude, but he's seen everything. So here's a prime example of Jerry Gray. So I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, when he was with the Packers. They had a COVID outbreak. DC can't come in the game. They're playing Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. Cardinals are kind of hot. Jerry Gray calls the defense and just stones them, just shuts them down. Right. That's right. When the Cardinals were rolling, I think they won 5 or 6 or 7 right out of the gate. And he just knows what he's doing. He sees, like, Ryan Nielsen. I spoke to Dennis Allen, the Saints coach, about him. Right. He said very few defensive line coaches can see the world behind them. Right. They only see the world along the line and in front of them. Jerry Gray sees the secondary in front of him and behind him. He's got a more global take on defense. So those guys in secondary will know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it, and really work in conjunction with the guys on the other two levels. So I think you're going to see a lot more of an understanding of what they're doing defensively, especially with so many of those young players that they've had back there, and also having an anchor and a free safety in Jesse Bates, who's just a hell of a player.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, former Falcons beat writer Steve Wyche, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So in looking at Desmond Ridder, do you realistically think, though, that he has to be a really good quarterback to make this team a playoff team? Or, and I don't like this term, and I don't know how else to phrase it, but can he be a game manager type of player with all of the offensive weapons that he has around him? And then obviously, if we think that this defense can be much improved, does he have to be great for this team to be a playoff team, or can he be that sort of game manager? I don't like that term, but I don't know how else to phrase it.
Well, I mean, look, he doesn't have to be great. When he said, does he have to be really good, or does he have to be a game manager? I think they're one and the same, right? And when I say that is, he's got to be a guy who doesn't turn the ball over. And, you know, I don't care about the touchdown to interception ratio, because his situation could be like the Detroit Lions, where you could throw the ball over the field, you get close to the goal line, that's where you use your run game. Mm-hmm. And that's where they better use it, right? So the touchdown interception ratio doesn't have to be extravagant, right? It doesn't have to be one of those 33-7, but it could be 21-9, right? Mm-hmm. Don't turn the ball over. Give your team an opportunity to put points on the board, even if they're field goals. Defensively, you know, it's all about defense and takeaways, right? You can give up yards. All this total defense numbers is all, you know, kind of trickery. Scoring defense and takeaways. If this defense can get more takeaways to give the offense opportunities and to deny scoring chances for the opponent, that's the big thing. So I think Desmond Ridder, I think he's got to be good. I mean, you're not going to get to the playoffs and win playoff games if you're ordinary, right? You've got to be good. But as good Jimmy Garoppolo, right, is pretty good to really good Derek Carr. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why, with the way this team is built, he can't be that caliber of quarterback. So, you know, I think they feel they have that trust in him. They've got to be patient with him to a degree. But, you know, and I'll tell you this, Taylor Heinicke will put pressure on him. Desmond's going to be the guy, and I'm not saying Taylor Heinicke's going to start. But that dude's got enough swagger to make him feel like, okay, I've got to be better at all times because this guy's here.
And you know, Steve, the thing I've talked about is that I don't need Desmond Ridder to be great, but in the red zone, I think that's where this team has to get much better. They were, I think, 24th in Arthur's first year, 14th in touchdown efficiency last year. If they can be a great red zone offense with all the weapons that they have, they can run it, they can throw it, they can get Pitts and London and Jonnu Smith. And I mean, they got so many guys that they can use down the red zone. That's where I think that Desmond Ridder and his ability to not turn the football over is going to shine for this team.
No, that's what it has to be. I mean, look at Josh Allen with the Bills last year. As great as he was in the red zone, he was a turnover. You know, he turned the ball over, and that hurt him. You know, he doesn't have to be a hero, and that's what being efficient in the red zone is. Don't be a hero. Get the ball to where it needs to be on time, and let everything else fall in place. You know, and that's what Desmond Ridder has to be. And he's shown that. He showed it at Cincinnati. He showed it, I think, at points last year. And the thing I like about Ridder is he's not afraid to drive the ball down the field. Something's there, he's going to drive the ball down the field. I don't think he's necessarily a gunslinger, but I also don't think he's got a guy who's risk averse either. I think he's going to try to make plays, but he's going to make sure not to force it. Make it when it's there.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, look, you know as well as I do, and you've covered this team millions of times, I mean, the pass rush has always been that big bugaboo. And we talked about Ebikadi and can he be that breakout player. But do you think that with the things that they have done to this defense to improve this defense, do you think they can get to that 38, 40 sack number that feels like that's that magical number when you talk about, you know, premier defenses and getting to the next level? Can they be that 38, 40 sack type of team?
So, you know, when you look at the teams that do that, and it sounds a little cliche, but they're good on first and second down and get those teams in third and six plus.
Right, right.
Like that's what has to happen, because then other teams have to pass. Right, you have to get a lead and force other teams to throw the ball more so than they're going to run the ball. That's, you know, that's what it all comes down to. We could sit here and project numbers because they have this type of personnel, whatever, but it all comes down to what they do on first and second down. You know, again, it's simple football, but you've got to make the opponent pass to give you opportunities to get to the quarterback. So, look, based on the personnel and based on what they're trying to do and based on their increase of speed, especially at that second level with their inside guys, you know, I think Caden Ellis is going to be a nice little tool for them. They have the opportunity. You might not have the 12, 13 sack, the Nick Bosa guy who's going to, you know, the Max Crosby guy, but they're going to have opportunities to do that if those guys up front on the first two levels deny teams from getting into, you know, second and five, you know, third and five. They've got to be, you know, those second and six plus, third and six plus to make teams throw.
Steve, I know that Calais Campbell is obviously here because, one, is he picked the Atlanta Falcons, but he is going to play, and he's going to play a good bit, and he may get the 60% of the snaps again like he did last year when he was playing. But how important is he, do you think, behind the scenes, you know, off the field? I mean, you know, how big of a role can he play in that, you know, not just what he does on the field, but also the behind-the-scenes stuff?
You know, it really depends, and I know Calais well. You know, he'll feel his way out because, you know, the Falcons for 2 years, say what you want about it, they have built a certain, and I hate the word culture, but they've built a certain something, right, an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Calais is wise enough to know, okay, I'm an import. I'm not going to come in here and try and say, I've got to teach this young fella this. I've got to, you know, exert my Walter Payton Man of the Year-ness on everybody. So I think he'll start out by doing it with his play, and he'll help the young guys out, right? He'll do what needs to be done. But, you know, I've seen guys who feel like they, you know, they're new to the team and they've got to come in and, hey, I'm this guy in the locker room, and hey, do it this way and do it that way. I don't think he's that guy, because a lot of times that can go awry, especially if a guy isn't producing at a ridiculous level. Sometimes it works. But I just, knowing Calais, I think he'll feel his way out. He is just an absolutely astute pro. And he'll exert his presence when needed, but he's not going to be one of these omnipresent overlords who's going to insist that you do it his way because it's the best way.
Last question for you, Steve. Matthew Bergeron's going to get every opportunity to win that starting left guard job. And I mean, I'd say it this way, but I mean, the last guy that we had that converted from tackle to, you know, interior left guard did not perform very well. What do you think about Bergeron? Can he make that adjustment? And, you know, do you think that he can be successful there?
We'll see. I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, what's going to be asked of him, right? What, you know, is he going to be tough enough? I'll tell you this, when he gets in training camp, he's got to bang against Calais Campbell, bang against David Onyemata, and bang against Grady Jarrett. You're going to find out.
Yep.
You're going to find out exactly what he's about. All signs look okay, but can't judge him right now, other than on his college tape and what he looked like in shorts and a jersey. So, again, we'll see. We'll see what's asked of him. But if all indications, you know, for what they think, you know, what they think of him, you know, then he should be a pretty good player. He was drafted highly, and so they think he's tough enough to do what's happening in the dirty work. But the one thing about the NFL these days is a lot more smoke is coming up the interior from the defensive fronts than in the past. So he's going to get tested very quickly in training camp. You know, hopefully over the first few weeks, he'll grow to expect, you know, and understand what's going to be expected of him.
Steve Wyche is on Twitter at Wyche89. He's the chief national reporter for NFL Network and joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Steve, buddy, as always, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta, as always, and we will certainly talk again to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. When we come back, is there any chance that the Falcons could end up with two 1,000-yard rushers? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll open up the phone lines and get your thoughts about this. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Thursday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That's both our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line now. So we've converted it over. So get rid of the old number, 726-0929. That's also our phone line. We're asking you the question, any chance that the Falcons could end up with two 1,000-yard rushers this year? You know, Day-Day, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two 1,000-yard rushers. It had been done three times before. So the first time was Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been like 72, the Super Bowl year, whatever like that. Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer had done it as well. I think 77 or 78, somewhere around in that range. Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack were the duo for the Cleveland Browns when they got to the AFC title game. They had done it. But the Falcons in 2006, and it's only been done by two other NFC teams. They were the first team in NFC history to have 2,000-yard runners. Now, again, Michael Vick, the quarterback, was right. One, but Warwick Dunn was the other.
Right.
But if you look at what this offense wants to do, and again, I'm not trying to put the finoinks on Desmond Ridder, but let's just say that he's not an all-pro caliber player, okay? And they're still going to lean heavily on their run game. Now, I need Desmond Ridder to be a pro when it comes to red zone offense. I don't necessarily need him to be a pro in other places. Could Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson be 1,000-yard rushers? Which would give, by the way, the distinction of the Atlanta Falcons would be the first franchise in NFL history to have 2,000-yard runners, you know, in two different seasons. I think the Panthers have had it once. The Giants had it once with, was it Ron Dane and Tiki Barber? I think they had it once. And the last time it was done was 2019, when Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson both ran for over 1,000 yards. So 404-726-0929. Could those two guys end up as 1,000-yard rushers? Look, I do think that they're going to get every opportunity. And if you look at now, if you factor in even the Avery Williams injury where he's going to be out for the year, if they're going to ask Cordarrelle Patterson to return kicks, return punts, be more involved in the passing game, then there might be more opportunity for rushing attempts for the two running backs. And I certainly don't think that Desmond Ridder is going to carry it even as often as what Marcus Mariota did last year. You know, they were willing to feature Marcus Mariota heavily in the run game. Why? Yeah, because he's a good runner, for one. But two is, you don't want him throwing the football. That's why they were one of the least pass attempt teams in the NFL, right? You don't want him throwing the football very often because you saw what happened when he throws the football. He starts hucking it around, throwing interceptions, bumbling his way through, missing guys that are wide open downfield, all of that stuff. That's why you don't want him throwing. So I do think that there are going to be more attempts for the running backs, and I do think that they are still going to be a run-heavy team. I don't think you're going to ask Desmond Ridder in his first full year of starting to huck it around 500 or 600 times. Now, again, they get down in the red zone with Pitts and Jonnu Smith and London and Patterson. Yeah, they may be a combination of run and throw when they get down deep to catch teams off balance. But I don't think that they're going to allow Desmond. Do I think they're going to throw it more than they did last year? Yes. Yes, I do think that. I think that they are still going to be a run-first team, but they still throw it more than what they did last year. And with that, because they're not going to have 500, 600 pass attempts or whatever, I still think that they are going to be run-heavy, and I think they're going to lean on their two young running backs to carry the bulk of that load. I don't think Patterson's going to get that many opportunities at running back. I think he's going to be used more as a slot receiver. And again, now that Avery Williams is down, could we see him in more of a special teams type of role? 404-726-0929. Steve, out in South Fulton. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Chuckery, how you doing today, man?
Good, buddy. How's it going, man?
Good, good. But yeah, no, I do think that, you know, there could be 2,000-yard rushers. I think that, you know, well, I know that last year the Falcons were the number one running team by a pretty wide margin, so they could increase their pass percentage, you know, their pass attempts and still, you know, get that accomplished. The reason why I believe is because I really think Bijan Robinson is going to be like that chain mover guy, right? The one, if it's 3rd and 5, he'll get you 6. And I think that they just going to create a lot of matchup problems. So they'll be in hopefully like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3 type of situations. And then you got guys like John New, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. You got 5 or 6 guys I think that can probably get you 4 or 5 yards in the pinch.
And I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that they're going to be smart about how they pass the football. Like, they're not going to get, you know, that's the other thing about this. They're not going to get themselves into, you know, 3rd and 13 types of situations because they're dropping back and throwing passes on 1st down and they are getting themselves in long distance areas. Now, I will correct you on one thing. Falcons finished 3rd in the NFL in rushing attempts. They finished 2 yards behind the Ravens for 2nd place. The Bears, because of Justin Field, they led the NFL in rushing. In fact, 3,014 yards. That's one of the few times in NFL history that a team has run for 3,000 yards. 2,720 for the Ravens, 2,718 for the Falcons. So they missed out by 3 yards, being the 2nd most prolific run team in the NFL. But again, they are a very heavy run team. But I don't think they're going to put the ball in harm's way with Desmond Ridder. And when you can lean on this offensive line, because let's face it, we still don't have an idea of how good of a pass blocking line that we are. I feel good about Jake. I feel good about Chris Lindstrom. I don't know what Matthew Bergeron is. I don't necessarily completely trust Drew Dolman in pass blocking. And until I see more of Caleb McGarry being able to pass block, I'm still going to have my doubts and reservations. So what they do is they go north, you know, head north, young man. They do that really well. Line up and push you around. And that's the strength of their football team. We can talk about all the different things they can do, you know, and all the different players that they have. The strength of this football team is their offensive line. It was a top five offensive line, maybe the best run offensive line in the NFL last year, but they are a top five offensive line because part of it is they don't put themselves in harm's way. They don't get into obvious throwing downs. They don't, you know, trick you and do different. They line up and they push you around. And they keep it short where it's third and four, third and three, versus it's third and 15, right? And you get yourself into obvious passing downs. So I don't think the Falcons are going to do that and have a second-year quarterback that's going to play like that. But it will be interesting because, you know, one of the things about Tyler Allgeier is he had a really good yards per attempt average last year, 4.9 yards per attempt. You know, if these guys can get themselves to where, and that's, you know, a, oh, yikes. Now it's 5-3. Was that a grand slam? Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Oh, 5-3 now, Mets. Wow. Grand salami. Ay, ay, ay. That wasn't exactly a good pitch from Spencer Strider. So more about that here in just a second. Nimmo hit that, right? Wasn't that Nimmo that hit that? Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, 5-3 now. So we've had less than so far the two pitchers have combined for 2 2/3 innings, 9 hits, and 8 runs. With Verlander and Strider, maybe two of the best strikeout guys in Major League Baseball. But anyway, back to the Falcons. But, no, I definitely think it's a possibility, and I definitely think that it's something that could happen with the philosophy. Now, look, I do expect Bijan Robinson to be a guy that catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. But again, if you look at Tyler Allgeier's yards per attempt number, they were 4.9. You know, if this can be a 4.5 to 5 yards per carry type of offense, I mean, you can certainly see these guys churning up some yards. Tyler Allgeier is not necessarily that breakaway kind of player, but Bijan Robinson can be that heavy home run threat to it. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, I think it's a definite possibility for this team. All right, Braves, like we said, they are down 5-3 now. So they got out to a 3-0 lead, right? Austin Riley hits a 2-run homer. Who was the outfielder? Was it Marte? Marte tried to come up.
I didn't get to. Was that right field or center field? But whoever it was, they tried to come up and gun down Darno, and that went bad.
Yeah, and it got underneath his glove and rolled to the wall, and another run scored. So the Braves were up 3-0, and now the Mets have given them a taste of their own medicine where the Braves have come back from behind the last couple of nights where they were down 4-1 and won that game. Mets come in and score 5. So, again, here's how about this pitching line? Combined for Strider and Verlander, 3 innings, 9 hits, 7 earned runs, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. Pretty wild, huh? I mean, Strider's got 5 of his 6 outs via the strikeout. Verlander's got 1 of his 3 outs via the strikeout. Both guys have given up a home run. Verlander had 25 pitches in the first inning. Strider's got 39 through 2 innings. So maybe what we thought was going to be a really good pitching matchup between these two clubs is maybe not shaping up to be that kind of way. So anyway, we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Braves as they look to sweep out the Mutts. And, you know, again, long way to go in this thing. We're literally only through the top of the second inning, right? So we've only played an inning and a half in this game. So, again, we'll see if the Braves bats can get some things cranked up and in going. So, Riley and Ronnie have scored two of the 3 runs. Darno has the other run. We talked about the outfielder coming up trying to throw him out and put the ball right underneath his glove. So anyway, we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on. All right, when we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll look at the next list from Pro Football Focus. top running backs in the NFL. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Thursday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That's both our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line now. So we've converted it over. So get rid of the old number, 726-0929. That's also our phone line. We're asking you the question, any chance that the Falcons could end up with two 1,000-yard rushers this year? You know, Day-Day, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two 1,000-yard rushers. It had been done three times before. So the first time was Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been like 72, the Super Bowl year, whatever like that. Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer had done it as well, I think 77 or 78, somewhere around that range. Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack were the duo for the Cleveland Browns when they got to the AFC title game. They had done it. But the Falcons in 2006, and it's only been done by two other NFC teams. They were the first team in NFC history to have 2,000-yard runners. Now, again, Michael Vick, the quarterback, was right. One, but Warwick Dunn was the other.
Right.
But if you look at what this offense wants to do, and... Again, I'm not trying to put the finoinks on Desmond Ridder, but let's just say that he's not an all-pro caliber player, okay? And they're still going to lean heavily on their run game. Now, I need Desmond Ridder to be a pro when it comes to red zone offense. I don't necessarily need him to be a pro in other places. Could Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson be 1,000-yard rushers, which would give, by the way, the distinction of the Atlanta Falcons would be the first franchise in NFL history to have 2,000-yard runners, you know, in two different seasons. I think the Panthers have had it once. The Giants had it once with, was it Ron Dane and Tiki Barber? I think they had it once. And the last time it was done was 2019 when Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson both ran for over 1,000 yards. So 404-726-0929. Could those two guys end up as 1,000-yard rushers? Look, I do think that they're going to get every opportunity. And if you look at now, if you factor in even the Avery Williams injury where he's going to be out for the year, if they're going to ask Cordarrelle Patterson to return kicks, return punts, be more involved in the passing game, then there might be more opportunity for rushing attempts for the two running backs. And I certainly don't think that Desmond Ridder is going to carry it even as often as what Marcus Mariota did last year. You know, they were willing to feature Marcus Mariota heavily in the run game. Why? Yeah, because he's a good runner, for one. But two is, you don't want him throwing the football. That's why they were one of the least pass attempt teams in the NFL, right? You don't want him throwing the football very often because you saw what happened when he throws the football. He starts hucking it around, throwing interceptions, bumbling his way through, missing guys that are wide open downfield, all of that stuff. So I don't want him throwing. So I do think that there are going to be more attempts for the running backs, and I do think that they are still going to be a run-heavy team. I don't think you're going to ask Desmond Ridder in his first full year of starting to huck it around 500 or 600 times. Now, again, they get down in the red zone with Pitts and Jonnu Smith and London and Patterson. Yeah, they may be a combination of run and throw when they get down deep to catch teams off balance. But I don't think that they're going to allow Desmond. Do I think they're going to throw it more than they did last year? Yes. Yes, I do think that. I think that they are still going to be a run-first team, but they still throw it more than what they did last year. And with that, because they're not going to have 500, 600 pass attempts or whatever, I still think that they are going to be run-heavy, and I think they're going to lean on their two young running backs to carry the bulk of that load. I don't think Patterson's going to get that many opportunities at running back. I think he's going to be used more as a slot receiver. And again, now that Avery Williams is down, could we see him in more of a special teams type of role? 404-726-0929. Steve, out in South Fulton. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Chuckery, how you doing today, man?
Good, buddy. How's it going, man?
Good, good. But yeah, no, I do think that, you know, there could be 2,000-yard rushers. I think that, you know, well, I know that last year the Falcons were the number one running team by a pretty wide margin, so they could increase their pass percentage, you know, their pass attempts and still, you know, get that accomplished. The reason why I believe is because I really think Bijan Robinson is going to be like that chain mover guy, right? The one, if it's 3rd and 5, he'll get you 6. And I think that they just going to create a lot of matchup problems. So they'll be in hopefully like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3 type of situations. And then you got guys like Jonnu, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. You got 5 or 6 guys I think that can probably get you 4 or 5 yards at a pinch.
I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that they're going to be smart about how they pass the football. Like, they're not going to get, you know, that's the other thing about this. They're not going to get themselves into, you know, 3rd and 13 types of situations because they're dropping back and throwing passes on 1st down and they are getting themselves in long distance areas. Now, I will correct you on one thing. Falcons finished 3rd in the NFL in rushing attempts. They finished 2 yards behind the Ravens for 2nd place. The Bears, because of Justin Field, they led the NFL in rushing. In fact, 3,014 yards. That's one of the few times in NFL history that a team has run for 3,000 yards. 2,720 for the Ravens, 2,718 for the Falcons. So they missed out by 3 yards, being the second most prolific run team in the NFL. But again, they are a very heavy run team. But I don't think they're going to put the ball in harm's way with Desmond Ridder. And when you can lean on this offensive line, because let's face it, we still don't have an idea of how good of a pass blocking line that we are. I feel good about Jake. I feel good about Chris Lindstrom. I don't know what Matthew Bergeron is. I don't necessarily completely trust Drew Dolman in pass blocking. And until I see more of Caleb McGarry being able to pass block, I'm still going to have my doubts and reservations. So what they do is they go north, you know, head north, young man. They do that really well. Line up and push you around. And that's the strength of their football team. We can talk about all the different things they can do, you know, and all the different players that they have. The strength of this football team is their offensive line. It was a top five offensive line, maybe the best run offensive line in the NFL last year, but they are a top five offensive line because part of it is they don't put themselves in harm's way. They don't get into obvious throwing downs. They don't, you know, trick you and do different. They line up and they push you around. And they keep it short where it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3 versus it's 3rd and 15, right? And you get yourself into obvious passing downs. So I don't think the Falcons are going to do that and have a second-year quarterback that's going to play like that. But it will be interesting because, you know, one of the things about Tyler Allgeier is he had a really good yards per attempt average last year, 4.9 yards per attempt. You know, if these guys can get themselves to where, and that's, you know, a, oh, yikes. Now it's 5-3. Was that a grand slam? Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Oh, 5-3 now, Mets. Wow. Grand salami. Ay, ay, ay. That wasn't exactly a good pitch from Spencer Strider. So more about that here in just a second. Nimmo hit that, right? Wasn't that Nimmo that hit that? Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, 5-3 now. So we've had less than so far the two pitchers have combined for 2 2/3 innings, 9 hits and 8 runs. With Verlander and Strider, maybe two of the best strikeout guys in Major League Baseball. But anyway, back to the Falcons. But no, I definitely think it's a possibility, and I definitely think that it's something that could happen with the philosophy. Now, look, I do expect Bijan Robinson to be a guy that catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. But again, if you look at Tyler Allgeier's yards per attempt number, they were 4.9. You know, if this can be a 4.5 to 5 yards per carry type of offense, I mean, you can certainly see these guys churning up some yards. Tyler Allgeier is not necessarily that breakaway kind of player, but Bijan Robinson can be that heavy home run threat to it. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, I think it's a definite possibility for this team. All right, Braves, like we said, they are down 5-3 now. So they got out to a 3-0 lead, right? Austin Riley hits a 2-run homer. Who was the outfielder? Was it Marte? Marte tried to come up.
I didn't get to. Was that right field or center field? But whoever it was, they tried to come up and gun down Darnell, and that went bad.
Yeah, and it got underneath his glove and rolled to the wall, and another run scored. So the Braves are up 3-0, and now the Mets have given them a taste of their own medicine where the Braves have come back from behind the last couple of nights where they were down 4-1 and won that game. Mets come in and score 5. So, again, here's how about this pitching line? Combined for Strider and Verlander, 3 innings, 9 hits, 7 earned runs, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. Pretty wild, huh? I mean, Strider's got 5 of his 6 outs via the strikeout. Verlander's got 1 of his 3 outs via the strikeout. Both guys have given up a home run. Verlander had 25 pitches in the first inning. Strider's got 39 through 2 innings. So maybe what we thought was going to be a really good pitching matchup between these two clubs is maybe not shaping up to be that kind of way. So anyway, we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Braves as they look to sweep out the Mutts. And, you know, again, long way to go in this thing. We're literally only through the top of the second inning, right? So we've only played an inning and a half in this game. So, again, we'll see if the Braves bats can get some things cranked up and in going. So, Riley and Ronnie have scored two of the three runs. Darno has the other run. We talked about the outfielder coming up trying to throw him out and put the ball right underneath his glove. So, anyway, we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on. All right, when we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll look at the next list from Pro Football Focus, top running backs in the NFL. Chuck me in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.